We need to be reminded time and time again of the importance of preaching Christ. That is why our denomination exists. It came out of protesting and standing against a denomination, against churches that had this very thing happen. Men in pulpits who had nothing to tell, no good news, because they didn't believe it. They weren't saved. They weren't converted. It was something to pay the bills, but it wasn't the call of God. I know how we are to be reminded of that and to be separate from that. The true witness is one who sees. It is founded upon a true experience of Christ.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Hello and welcome to our program today, and we thank you for joining with us, and we trust the Lord has greatly blessed you and your family over this holiday period. We're going to our pulpit in Cloverdale today to consider the second part of that message, the apostolic testimony to a wonderful truth, thinking for the last time this year upon the incarnation of the Saviour, his coming into the world. And may we rejoice in his goodness, his grace, his power, his saving work for sinners such as you and I.
We see the power of his miracles in Scripture. Miracles that testify to the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, his purpose in coming, healing the blind, giving them physical sight that reminds us of that spiritual sight, raising Lazarus from the dead, again reminding us what Christ does in raising those who are dead in sin to life again. These miracles point us to the Lamb of God, who is the Savior of the world. Today, do you have a true experience of Christ? Do you know him? Can you say, I am a witness for Christ because my experience is true? I've experienced that truth that the apostles preached. I've experienced that truth that they saw, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. How marvelous that is. And it is that experience that can only save. Do you have that true saving experience today? That you can say, yes, I have seen, I have heard of Christ, I have believed in him. He is my Savior. What the apostle speaks of here, the love of God. We love him because he first loved us. I can testify to that. I love my Savior because he first loved me. Oh, may that be your experience. May that be the foundation of your witnessing and your testimony to this great truth that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Secondly, it is proclaimed because of the imperative to declare Christ. This truth is proclaimed because of the imperative to declare Christ. Turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark 16, and the verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This gospel is to be declared. It's not a gospel that is to be hidden. When we think of the angels there in Luke chapter 2, The shepherds were in the fields at night, and what happened? An angel appeared and said, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, for unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the angels came, and they praised, glory to God in the highest. They declared Christ. They declared his coming. There was a great purpose here, and the star declared that something had happened. The angels declared. The angels came and declared to Mary and Joseph that their child would be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. There was a declaration. This was not something that was hidden. It was penned in the New Testament and in the Gospels. It was preached to the Jews and to the Gentiles. This truth was not hidden. Why? Because of the wonder of this truth. Because the Savior is one who saves and redeems. If you've never been told of Christ, where would you be? If you've never been told of the salvation of the Savior, where would you be? If friends, family, or the pastor never told you about Christ, what would your life be like? What a privilege it is to be able to testify of Christ, to hear of the testimony of Christ. Young people today, do not think lightly of church. Do not think lightly of your family devotions or your parents encouraging you to learn the things of God. What a blessed privilege that is. What a blessed privilege. I remember over the years when I've given my testimony, I had the privilege of being born into a Christian home. I've heard many testify, and it's almost the default opening line of testimonies. I had the privilege of being born into a Christian home. And how important and how significant that line is. What a privilege it is. What a privilege it is. I've heard testimonies from people who said that they weren't brought up in a Christian home. They never heard the gospel until much later. They may have attended church, but never heard the gospel there. They may have went through school and heard nothing of Christ. They may have went into the workplace and years passed by until they finally were told something of the gospel of Christ. What a privilege you have in comparison. Many have grown up with that privilege. They've set it aside. They've ignored it. They've rejected it. They may be professed it for a while, but they've set it aside because of the pleasures of sin that last but for a season. And there's been a full rejection. How sad it is to have the privilege of knowing the gospel, the message of truth, the greatest message that this world will ever know, this wonderful truth that the apostles preached, that they seen and heard, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. How marvelous to have that truth, to hear that truth, to know that truth. But how sad that it's brushed to the side, as if it's worthless. Dear believer, you and I have a very important role to play in the church, in society, in our families, that we would not for one second give anyone any reason to think that the gospel of Christ, the word of God, is not important. That calls us to examine ourselves. That causes us to live for Christ. That causes us to realize that we're handling something that has great value. Great value. If you were to go to the bank, and if you had a big bank account, but you wanted to transfer to another bank, cancel one account, go to another, what would you do? You have £1 million or $1 million in that account. You don't just take a bag and stuff the $1 million in the bag and have it half zipped and walk down the street or walk down a dark alley with this money in your bag, you're going to take care of it. You're going to protect it. You're going to take steps that you're not actually carrying that amount of cash with you. It's simple. It's logical. We have something of greater value, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to be declared, but we are to take care how we handle it. We're to take care that we do not bring scorn upon it. That those around us do not look and say, well, there's a Christian, but look how they live. The gospel of Christ wasn't able to do much for them. We're not to live so the gospel is despised. We're to treasure it. May no one have a reason to scorn the gospel because of us. But young people, there are many who say, oh, the Bible is boring. Church is boring. There's a focus on entertainment today. There's a focus upon fun and the world's offering of stories that is more important than the Word of God. In reality, the entertainment of the world lasts but for a season. It may be exciting at first, but there's no satisfaction in it. How sad it is, there are many who see the world's entertainment as more fulfilling than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This world's entertainment has nothing to offer the sinner, nothing but deceit and damnation, nothing but no hope, no refuge, no salvation. But yet, there are many who cleave toward it. They do not focus upon the great message that is to be proclaimed, the great declaration of Christ. And it is important and imperative to declare Christ. That is the biblical command. We are to preach the gospel of Christ. The apostles, they heard and they witnessed and they testified of Christ. And dear believer, you and I have that duty to testify of the Savior, to declare Him. It is something we must do by our lives, by our words. We are to speak of Christ. Why? Because of the wonderful truth of Christ. It is the truth of the gospel that makes this something that must be done. It is something that gives life. It is something that saves the sinner from an eternity in hell. And it's not to be hid, it is to be declared. Oh, today you have the great message of the gospel. Is it a message you're denying? Is it a message you're setting aside? Is it a message that, well, it will do for another occasion? I'm young. I'm in my 20s. I'm a teenager. Maybe your response is, well, I'm young. I'm 60 years of age. I'm young. I can wait a little while longer. The Word of God reminds us, boast not what a day may bring forth. We're coming to the end of a year, and we are reminded, perhaps, of all those who have lost their lives this year. I came across a page on Wikipedia of famous people who died in 2024. And it starts in January, and it goes through all the dates. I didn't read it all. I just looked at January and February. Scores of individuals, some I've never even heard of. But for some people, they're well known. And they died and they passed away. And they never saw the end of this year. Some due to the old age, due to natural causes, the end of life. Some long before they reach those age. Some who are young. We ought not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. We don't know. That's the reality. We can think we have years and years and years, but we do not know. And therefore, we see the importance, we see the imperative of this great message. It is not to be hidden, it's to be believed and preached. Christ must be proclaimed because of his identity. He is the pure and spotless Savior. He's the only one who can save. He must be proclaimed because of his truth. We are to buy that truth and sell it not. We do not hold to other truths. We hold to the truth of Christ. And therefore, that truth must be proclaimed. Christ must be proclaimed because of his purpose. When we look at 1 John chapter 1, we see some of that great purpose here, that our joy may be full in verse 4, that there may be fellowship with the Father and with his Son in verse 3, a fellowship that can only take place because of the forgiveness of sins. There is a purpose here in Christ's salvation. He saves and redeems for all eternity. Though if you're not saved today, you're in your sin, you need to consider that. There is an imperative for you to believe Christ because he is the only Redeemer. What does our text say? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And thirdly, in regard to this apostolic testimony to a wonderful truth, it is imitated as the pattern for the church of Christ. It is not to be imitated. We could have worded it that way. It is imitated. There's a point I want to mention. This is what the pattern of the church should be, to declare Christ, to testify of him. We should never be in the position where we look at ourselves and realize, well, Christ is to be imitated. It should be happening. We shouldn't have to stop and pause and realize this isn't happening and we need to fix it. We should be reassessing it as we go along. We should never be in a position where we stop and realize we're not testifying of Christ. We're not holding to his truth. If we were truly of God, truly loving him, truly serving him, we would not get to the position where we have to look back and think what went wrong. Day by day, we're seeking him. Day by day, we're repenting of sin. Day by day, we're warming our hearts in his love. Oh, something has gone seriously wrong if we look back and think Christ has not been preached for weeks, for months, for years. We need to reassess this. No, as we go along, he is to be the pattern. That is why we exist. That is why we are saved. That the apostolic testimony to a wonderful truth is imitated by us as the pattern for the church. That is something that is inseparable from our position as the people of God. The apostle says, "We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And this is to be ongoing. Ongoing. It's not a change of direction for the church. It is something that should be there from the start, and it continues. And we need the help of God. We need the Spirit of Christ to keep on preaching Christ. There are many who have fallen aside from this. Many whom we could say, yes, you need to be reminded that this testimony is to be imitated as the pattern for the church. You need to be reminded of that and get back to the basics. But here we're reminding ourselves, this is what we're doing. This is what should never change. Why? Because of this great message of the incarnation. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We're to preach in the same manner. What was the manner of the apostles' preaching? Spurgeon said it was very fervent and ardent. He said those first preachers never preached cold sermons. He says, why some sermons hang like icicles upon the lips of the speaker. We're not speaking here of outdoor preaching in Canada, but some sermons hang like icicles upon the lips of the preacher. Why? Because the truth means nothing. As those who love the truth were to follow in the example of the apostles, it's a truth that burns in our heart. It's a truth that gives us zeal. Dear believer, if the truth of God does not cause passion within you for that truth, you need to look at yourself and examine yourself. When we think of our Savior and His coming into the world and His love for us, it cries out passion. It cries out zeal. It cries out the love of God. And can we not be moved by that? The great message that we have. They preached simply. They preached the truth. They made sure that the truth that they proclaimed was known. It was believed. They preached with boldness. There in Acts chapter 4, they were told, don't preach. They went to the upper room. They prayed with the disciples, the apostles. They prayed with the church. What did they pray? Lord, strike down those that oppose us. No. Lord, help us to be quiet until we have an opportunity in the future where it would be legal for us to preach. No. They simply prayed, Lord, give us boldness. Give us confidence. We're not going to stop preaching. We're going to keep declaring Christ as the Savior of the world, but we need boldness. And they prayed for boldness, and God gave them boldness, and there was a great work done. We need boldness today. We need confidence in the message today. The preacher needs to have such a confidence that if he were to stand up and say something, he needs to believe it's true. If the whole congregation turn on him and chase him out the fire exit, if what he says is true, and it's the congregation that are in error regarding the truth and don't want to hear the truth, the preacher needs to stand firm. He's not to turn around and apologize for preaching the truth of the gospel. He's not to preach what people want to hear. And therefore, the message of the gospel is changed and watered down. Well, if we go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there is so much to offend us. So much can offend others. But we need to be bold. This is the truth of God, and we are not departing from it. We're not departing from it. We need the same power, the power of the Spirit of Christ. They had boldness. Why? Because of the Spirit. They were able to preach the truth of the gospel in such a way and see great results because of the power of the Spirit. John says that we have seen and do testify, and they testified with power. We have a wondrous message. We need the Spirit. Dear believer, pray for the Spirit of God upon the ministry of His Word, upon your own life and heart, that you would indeed testify to the fullness of Christ. It must be the same message as well. We do not adjust that message with time. We do not change it for a modern generation. It may be preached differently in the sense of there may be relevance to the modern age. There may be a different style, but it is ultimately the same message. It is the same message. The same truth of God, and we must stand firm to that. And what is that message? We have this great truth. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. All ranks, classes, and conditions of men, no difference whatsoever. Christ is the Savior of the world. Do you love that message? Do you believe that message? As we think of the apostolic testimony to wonderful truth, does that truth burn upon your heart? Oh, that it would. Oh, that you would love the Savior more and more. And even at this time of year when so many forget, they maybe think upon the Father sending the Son, and that's where they stop. But the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Don't be afraid to speak of Christ. Don't be afraid to be that witness for Him. Follow the example of the apostles. The same manner, the same boldness, power, message. May God bless the testimony of His Word as we seek to serve Him. Amen.
Spurgeon brings us today to Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Look at David's Lord and Master. See his beginning. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Would you see the end? He sits at his Father's right hand, expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. As he is, so are we also in this world. You must bear the cross, or you shall never wear the crown. You must wade through the mire, or you shall never walk the golden pavement. Cheer up then, poor Christian. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. See that creeping worm, how contemptible its appearance. It is the beginning of a thing. Mark that insect with gorgeous wings, playing in the sunbeam, sipping at the flower bells, full of happiness and life. That is the end thereof. That caterpillar is yourself, until you are wrapped up in the chrysalis of death, but when Christ shall appear, you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. Be content to be like him, a worm and no man, that like him you may be satisfied when you wake up in his likeness. That rough-looking diamond is put upon the wheel. He cuts it on all sides. It loses much, much that seemed costly to itself. The king is crowned. The diadem is put upon the monarch's head with trumpet's joyful sound. A glittering ray flashes, and it beams from that very diamond which was just now so sorely vexed. You may venture to compare yourself to such a diamond, for you are one of God's people, and this is the time of the cutting process. For in the day when the crown shall be set upon the head of the king, eternal, immortal, invisible, one ray of glory shall stream from you. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.